Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Okay, well, if vaccine prioritisation and mortgage approval have you a little bit stressed, I have an antidote. The Dawn Chorus there. Éan and Ilana, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning indeed, Philip. It's great to be an antidote, I have to say. We need lots of antidotes.
You might not be a vaccine, but you could possibly be an antidote. It has been one of the greatest...
A doting ant, but anyway, we won't go there.
It's been one of the greatest sources of cheap entertainment in our household, at the very least, over the course of lockdown. Putting a couple of feeders up in the garden and just watching the riot of bird activity going on.
Yeah, hasn't it been great? And people have been very much aware of what's happening in the world around them, very close to them, in fact. But the days of the feeder, the times for the feeders are beginning to become less and less, because once the leaves come on the trees and once the insects come on the leaves, I'm sorry to tell you, Philip, the birds much prefer the wild food than anybody's feeders. So what we should be doing now is keeping in tune with the world of birds and indeed with the world of nature in general, because now, as your Dawn Chorus showed, it's the birds are mating, they're looking for territory and they're building nests. So we should be in supporting them to build their nests at this point. And there's lots of things people can do for this. Mm. Now, it's the very last moment to get out your nest boxes. So if you want to have blue tits or grey tits in your garden or robins, get them out this week, because otherwise it's too late.
Before you go on to the nest boxes, though, Ian, just one second, because I've noticed that the birds have deserted the feeders, but I had also always thought that when you get into this nesting and fledging period, that you should remove all of that food and that the young should be learning how to forage from natural sources and not from our help.
I don't believe everything you read in the book. No, what happens is that the birds build the nest. They have nestlings. The nestlings, when we did the studies with Derek on the blue tits, the mammy and daddy blue tit feed the babies 500 times a day. So they haven't much time for feeding themselves. So you can leave the food out. Mammy and daddy will eat it themselves if they're short, but they're not eejits. They're not going to feed it to their young. They're not going to stuff big peanuts into tiny little birds' mouths. But it gives them a boost if they haven't time to be getting stuff for themselves. So you can't really do that much harm. But one of the things that you really must do is get the nest boxes out and keep in the cat. The cat, now the mornings are getting longer, and if your cat has a cat flap and can go in and out between dawn and the time people get up at, and that period is getting longer and longer, the cat can do terrible depredations in the garden. Even your moggy that prefers kitty cat, it's their natural instinct to hunt and kill, and really you don't want to be doing that. So have your cat by all means, but don't let him out for that critical period in the morning, because obviously he can do depredation when nobody is looking.
And why do you suggest...
Don't be spraying things either.
Why do you suggest limiting the number of bird boxes?
Well, because obviously birds have territory. What do you think all the singing is about? It's all those males saying, I'm living here and hump off you. You go away. This is my territory. It's like a job. You can't have three or four in the one area. There won't be enough food. So if you're a blue tit or your grey tit is singing and teacher, teacher, if you put up three nest boxes, well, then there's not going to be three birds in them. It's going to be none, because they'll all be fighting with each other. So because that's not their nature to be living in communities like that. Only sparrows live in communities. So put up one nest box in the right place and don't be putting up a whole clatter of them. If one is good, 10 is better. It's so one good nest box in the right place with a perch that the bird can land on before it flies in. No perch on the nest box now, but it could land on the wires and then fly into the nest box, or land on a tree and fly into the nest box. That's what you want, a properly positioned one. Not a whole heap, to be sure, because the competition, the natural competition among the birds, will stop them from competing, will stop them from using it at all.
No joy at all,
so don't do that.
What about different kinds of boxes with different openings for different species? I mean, I know the blue tits like the little round hole, don't they? Whereas robins prefer a slightly larger square one.
Yeah, they're half door jobs. Yeah, they were the birds that go through holes into a nest box. Obviously, the size of the bird matters. So the smallest one is the blue tit, and the smallest hole will be that one. If you make it a bit bigger, your coal tit or indeed your great tit can get in, and they can compete. Whoever gets in first, it's their nest box. So if you really want blue tits, make the hole small, and it says on the nest box for which one it is. Whereas robins now will take a half door. They won't squeeze in through holes like that. And then, of course, you can become very posh altogether and put up maybe swift nesting boxes for the swifts that are going to be coming to us in May. And that's a whole scheme that has properly designed boxes. It wouldn't really be for people's houses, but they will nest in nest boxes as well too. Or if you've really won the lottery, you can put up a barn owl box, but that's Scalella or Fod. But not every bird will nest in a nest box at all. Things like blackbirds and things like thrushes, garden birds like that, they want to build their nests. So you need to have cover in your garden, some kind of a thorny tree, a thorny bush that they can actually build their nest in, and then leave food for them. Don't be spraying things. Don't be spraying and putting out blue pellets for slugs and snails. These birds have to eat. So don't be doing that. Don't be destroying whatever food you have in your garden because people want to have nice grass and keep cutting it. Leave a bit of food for the birds. Otherwise, it won't work.
Okay. Tell me very quickly, you've had a very productive lockdown and you have a new book. What is it?
Yes, I have a book out called Our Wild World, published by O'Brien Press, out this week. And this is the book you need, Philip. You won't be needing to ask any more questions. I'm explaining in this book, in my own inimitable way, how the world works, what pollination actually is, hibernation, what's carbon sequestration, what's a carbon sink, climate change, is it really happening? All of the things that you should have learned, not you personally, because you know everything, but, you know, generally speaking, what people should have learned in school, didn't maybe forgot, didn't catch up. But this is not terribly, terribly hard to read, but it's properly scientifically written because I'm a scientist. But this is the book. If you want to know how the world works, read this book and then you go out and care that the world will continue to work in that way and support any kind of decisions made to keep our world going.
And so, it is very much
in Aina's available everywhere.
Very much in Aina's style, even the chapter headings. Global warming, is it getting hotter or colder or wetter or drier or what? That's a line that was could only have been written by Aina Leanna, published by O'Brien Press, Our Wild World, From the Birds and the Bees to Our Boglands and Ice Caps. Aina, thank you very much for joining us this morning.